Do you know what's so great about this episode is that it's not just about how to quit, it's about quitting with a plan.
Welcome to the Business Made Simple podcast, brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network. I'm your host, Donald Miller. If you have been listening to the last few episodes, we've answered questions around how to hire top talent, strategies for attracting top talent, as well as navigating the sort of delicate process of letting somebody go. And so today we're actually going to talk about, but what if you are the person who needs to leave? We're talking about hiring, firing, and quitting, and today is quitting. If you need to go, how do you do it in such a way that everybody loves you, that if you wanted to come back, you could come back, that you don't burn bridges, that you don't get a bad name out there in the world? How do you actually make it happen? So join us today as we explore the art of quitting and how to make the transition as smooth as possible. Stay with us. If you are a startup with big growth dreams, then you need a CRM that can keep up. From marketing and sales to support and content and everything in between, HubSpot's all-in-one customer platform has startups covered. And with the HubSpot for Startups program, you can save 30 to 90% on a platform that scales right along with you. Increase leads, boost revenue, and improve your customer experience. HubSpot for Startups helps you do it all. Plus, they offer 24/7 customer support and integrations with more than 1,500 of today's most popular apps. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, their constantly evolving collection of resources and articles created specifically to help startups scale. HubSpot is trusted by some of the most successful startups and more than 100,000 companies around the world. To see if you are eligible to join the HubSpot for Startups program and take your growth to the next level, visit HubSpot.com/startups. All right. I love this idea of quitting. And I'm not saying that everybody out there should go quit your job. If you found a good job and you love it, that's great. If you don't have a job that you actually really like, I want to tell you, you can quit. And there's just plenty of other fish in the sea, as they say.
Don, I think there's so many people out there that have just taking a sigh of relief because you gave them permission to be able to step away and go, it's okay if I start thinking, I'm not a bad person.
Bobby, I really do believe that, and you know, and partly I'm wired this way, and I don't know that everybody's wired this way, but if it's not working out and you're not happy, you either need to deal with the situation, sit down and talk to your boss, talk to the people that you work with, find another, you know, quitting can also be just finding some other place in the company.
Sure, sure.
Right? But quit doing what you are doing. Because there's just plenty of opportunity out there. Even in a down market where there's not a whole lot of jobs, if you know how to sort of sell yourself and position yourself, you can go and you can get something better. That said, you ever quit?
I've shifted around in a position, but before I was here, I was an actor and then I was freelance, ran my own production company.
Gotcha.
So in a way, there were times when I had to almost quit with a client
and let a
client know, hey,
that's
I don't think
other,
I'm your guy.
That's a whole other podcast.
Or, hey, I don't think that this is, I'm not sure if I'm the one to be able to do this. And yeah, maybe there was some of that in the subtext, but I haven't stepped away or actually quit. Have you ever had to quit?
I don't know. I don't remember ever quitting. I mean, I've sort of owned my own thing or done the writer speaker thing since 29. And before that, I had my own publishing company. I remember walking in, I was president of a publishing company, and I walked into my office on a Saturday. And I walked in and there was a team of people in the office going through the warehouse, and it became very obvious he was selling the company. But that was a little way of me finding out that, oh, I'm not going to work here very, very long. And so I quit and started my own thing. That would have been in my mid-20s, and that's the last time I would have had the opportunity to quit.
Yeah.
But I've had people quit working for me, and I've had people, actually, I don't know that I've ever had anybody quit that didn't just do it really, in my opinion, just really well.
Like set it up going, hey, I want to make sure I care about this company. I want to make sure that the runway is long enough so that you don't feel abandoned.
Yeah.
And I'm still able to move on and transition out, but it's not going to shake it up for my team or
that's
for the company.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, from my perspective of it as a business owner, when somebody quits that way, when they come to me and they say, hey, here's what I'm thinking. What a lot of people are worried about when they quit is, I'm going to burn bridges. My boss is going to like me. I'm going to get a bad name in this town. If you have a healthy boss, hopefully you do, and you actually sit them down, you know, and just say, hey, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'm going to, you know, go get my master's degree, or I'm thinking I'm, you know, this isn't quite the right fit for me, or I've got this other amazing opportunity. but I do not want to let you down. I mean, those are the words. I do not want to let you down. And I want this to be as little of a burden as possible for you. That person, you know, including me, because I've had this experience, will have more respect for you after you leave than they did even when you worked for them.
Sure, sure.
So you're doing the opposite of burning a bridge. And, you know, there's a guy who on our staff who was with us for a year or two, and, you know, I interacted with him 5 or 6 times, and he did that, and now he's gone, and we text all the time. You know what I mean? I'm like, how's it going?
You're closer with him now than you were. Yeah,
exactly, which I regret because he's really fun, yeah. You know, great guy. So there's a way to do it. Now, if you have an unhealthy boss and you're quitting probably because you have an unhealthy boss, you have an unhealthy boss. I mean, there's not a whole lot, you know, any of us can do about that person.
Well, I think that in that situation, because there are, it sounds like we're kind of exploring two avenues. And from
healthy boss, non-healthy boss.
Healthy boss, non-healthy boss, where we've got, you know, these last few episodes where we've taken the dive into hiring, taken the dive into best way to let somebody go, how to fire them. Our audience, our listeners are submitting questions about all of these aspects. And this last episode, this one right now, it's sort of that amalgamation. All of them fell into two columns. One was, hey, I'm ready to move on because of bigger and better things, right. But I don't want to abandon, you know, my current team, my current boss. And like you just named, hey, I'm in a crazy space. My boss this is unhealthy, right. And it's toxic. How do I leave without it like sliming me? And I have that residual funk on me as I'm going out.
Yeah.
And it follows me as I'm trying to move on and do bigger and better things.
Every chance you get to practice a higher level of maturity in public is an opportunity to get enormous respect. So mm-hmm. whenever you have something going on, whether it's a crazy boss or you hate your work situation or whatever, it is actually an opportunity to really shine. And I hope everybody listening to this understands what I'm saying. But one of the things that you want to be able to do is, first of all, watch your emotions. Don't do anything out of anger.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a thing that happens in your brain, your prefrontal cortex, I believe it's called. You know this because your wife is a therapist. It, you know, when you're angry, it actually shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that goes with it when it shuts down is language. So your ability to use language well. So if you're getting into an argument and you're heating up, your ability to communicate well
disappears,
which is awful. You know, now you're in a situation where a lot worse things can happen, but you have no control over your tongue.
And neither you and probably the other person is even thinking about how are we going to move forward with this conflict that we're actually debating or talking through right now.
Yeah.
And it all becomes personal.
Well, let's start, Bobby, with your boss is unhealthy. And okay. it's a toxic workplace.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I want to say to anybody who's there is congratulations. Because you have realized that you are not a monkey who belongs in this mm-hmm. particular circus, right?
Right.
So kudos to you.
Yeah.
It's like, this is crazy. And kudos to you for not entering in and finding a warm, hospitable place that you're used to.
Sure.
You know?
And being in deciding, I'm in control of what I'm in control of, which is where I go and how I deal with this.
Yeah. You don't fit in crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy and you don't work together.
They don't work together.
So congratulations. The next thing that you want to remember is that if you're getting hijacked by crazy and you're getting angry and you're getting upset, that means you're not quite aware of the fact that you don't belong there, because there should be a really separate delineation between you and that nonsense, right? You are temporarily in an environment that you don't belong in. And if it's making you mad, you're actually wondering if you do. Does that make sense?
You're questioning yourself and blaming yourself. Maybe this is my problem because everyone else seems to be okay.
Yeah, or maybe this is a problem worth worrying about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
If my daughter, you know, at 2.5, this morning, she's sitting on my lap. We still do a little warm thing of milk every morning, and I read her a story every morning. And she wanted Little Blue Truck on Valentine's Day, which is not in the day room. It's actually in her bedroom. So I was like, well, what if we do the Nutcracker? Because there's like a Nutcracker book and you press the button and it plays Little
right.
Tchaikovsky.
Why don't we do the book that's right in front of us?
We've done that every morning.
Yeah.
But since Valentine's Day, she's obsessed with Valentine's Day now because she got a gift. And it's like Christmas for girls. You know, it's kind of what it is. And so she wanted the Little Blue Truck. And I was like, well, let's read it next because, you know, it's in the room and it's in your room and I'll go get it. And then she just like went boneless, slid out, and like had a fit. Now, if I was like, oh my gosh, it's 50 feet to the room. How are we going to do? Then I have clearly entered into toddler thinking.
She's in control. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
That's, and she's also in control. Yeah. And there's also not a sane person who's
exactly.
very good, who's indicating that this is not worth crying about. So, you know, you want to keep that delineation and you want to keep your prefrontal cortex on so it's not going offline. And then here's some, take it for what it's worth. But what I want to do before I quit that situation is I want to get into a mindset where I am extremely for those people. I want them to succeed. I want them to win. I want them to heal from whatever they need to heal from. I want them to experience a peaceful work environment. I'm just not going to be there for that.
That's great, because you then you shift out of that, I need to win and they need to lose, and then which is just that battle. It's that battle for control.
Yep.
And you're giving up the control.
Totally giving it up.
And not giving them also a reason to feel like they need to get it back from you, you know?
That's great. It. And you're also, and this is, you know, a bit sly, but if you are praying for them and for them and want them to win, you are a better person than they are. You just are.
Mm-hmm.
You're more evolved. You've done your work. You know, you're not getting into the pigsty and getting all muddy. And so there's some weird like identity affirmation stuff. Now, here's the other thing. You actually have to mean it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, God, please bless those jerks. You know,
well, sometimes to start, you just have to say the words and then you repeat them over and over.
So,
and
yeah.
That just helps you, you know, helps you get back in that mind frame. But yeah.
I learned this. I don't know about you. I learned this praying for ex-girlfriends. It was just the best way to get centered and not get hooked was, you know, I said some things I shouldn't have said. They said a bunch of things they shouldn't have said. And we probably don't need to talk. But rather than me stewing on it and mm-hmm. thinking I'm right, it's literally me just going, help them just live an amazing, abundant life. And please forgive me of anything that I've done here that could, you know, it's a way of like taking what could be a war and mm-hmm. stopping it.
Exactly.
In its tracks. And yeah. So pray for them, wish them the best. And then you want to sit down and you want to do exactly what people have done to me, which just means so much. Sit down and say, hey, I don't want any of this to hurt you. Love the opportunity that you gave me. Right now, I just need to time to figure out what I want to do next. I don't feel like this is quite it. I wouldn't bring any sort of case to them on here's why you're not somebody I want to work for. I just wouldn't do it. Just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because what stinks about most people who are really unhealthy is that explaining to them that they are unhealthy does not make them healthy.
That doesn't help. No. No.
So
it's another reason they're frustrated with you.
Nah, well, yeah. You have zero responsibility to change them. None at all. And, you know, I've known people who, you know, they're in their 60s going into their 70s who've been unhealthy and doing unhealthy things for 50 plus years. And what you think one conversation from me is going to change that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just because you have evolved and you have figured things out doesn't mean that everybody does. Not everybody does. Nor is it even remotely your responsibility to do that. That's a boundaries issue. There is so much power in turning the other cheek. You know, one of the quickest ways to stop a fight is if somebody hits you, just don't hit them back. And you'll go, well, that's a wimpy coward kind of thing. Listen, if your family's welfare is on the line, if your reputation is on the line, you know, by the way, you won't look weak. And then my big thing on vengeance is there's just no better way of seeking vengeance than living well. Than just showing all of your enemies that the way you live works extremely well. It's amazing how far you can get in life by avoiding drama and knowing how to disarm tension and get out of tension and just kind of, quote, stay alive. Now, there's a whole big group of people out there who are like, that's a wimp and that's cowardly and that's not taking a stand against something.
Well, they've got their own stuff to deal with.
They
then.
Do. And the quote, the idea of, quote, taking a stand is used more to get away with immaturity than it is for actually taking a stand.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not with you on that. And by the way, if you don't think I take a stand, read any of my books. You know, I take a lot of stands. But in a situation where you're in a toxic, dysfunctional workplace, why am I taking a stand here? Like this is a ship going down and they want to go down.
You should be taking a step followed by another step and just taking those steps out the door.
Talking Too Loud, hosted by Chris Savage, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. On each episode of Talking Too Loud, Wistia CEO and self-proclaimed loud talker Chris Savage takes you inside the minds of entrepreneurs as they share the hilarious, informative, and most challenging aspects of building more human brands. On a recent episode titled The Many Benefits of Inclusive Marketing with Sonia Thompson, Chris chats with Sonia about what you can start doing right now to help customers feel more seen, valued, and understood when engaging with your brand. You will also learn why inclusive marketing matters, how it's shaping customer-led growth, and what it looks like when it's actually done right. Listen to Talking Too Loud wherever you get your podcasts. And now back to the show. What if you're just sort of going, I want a different career.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this environment is not lighting me up. My heart is somewhere else. Then let's talk about what to do there. And the first thing that I think you want to do is before you actually quit, I want you to ask yourself, why are you quitting? Like, why are you unhappy? And then ask yourself, okay, how much of this is them being the work environment, the company, the mission, all that kind of stuff, and how much of this is me? What is them and what is me? So let me give you three categories.
Okay, cool.
One is your boss.
Mm-hmm.
When people like their boss, they tend to stick around. So you want to ask yourself, if I don't like my boss, why don't I like my boss? Well, they're too driven. They want to work weekends. They're all about money or whatever it is, and there's no mission involved or something like that. They don't appreciate me. They don't coach me. They don't give me valuable feedback. Okay. I would just say that one thing in defense of your boss is, you know, did you know what you were getting into? You know, if you're going to go play football at Texas A&M, you know what you're getting into. You know that you're three mistakes away from being replaced. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's just the environment. And there are people, like, if you're going to go work for Elon Musk, he's not going to develop you, right? He's not going to sit and talk about your feelings. It's just a different environment. So now you got to ask the second question. Is it that person, or is this the fact that I don't fit in this highly competitive environment? And if it is that you don't fit in that highly competitive environment, congratulations. That is a fantastic thing to know about yourself, right? But if you're just like, no, man, I got to get into some place where it's cutthroat, and I know that if I climb and I work my hardest, I'm going to climb over all these yahoos, right? And you're like, okay, well, now you're in an Elon Musk kind right. of environment, you know, maybe Jeff Bezos kind of environment. I don't know. The whole reason you're asking these questions, you're trying to learn more about yourself so that when you go to the next environment, you're in a much better place. So just saying, I don't like it here, I'm going to quit, means you're probably going to go repeat that mistake. So what we're trying to do is stop making that mistake. So why am I quitting? Why am I not happy here? And then I think, again, you want to ask yourself, okay, if there's things that need to change about them, I'm going to write this down. Here's everything that I wish they would change to make me happy. Now, that is a worthless list if you ever give it to them. But what it is, it's a list of what you're looking for next.
Sure.
One of the things that every time I hire, I've hired about three of them in my career, sort of an executive assistant. One of the things that I say to them is, how much interaction do you need with me? Like, what would make you happy? And if they say, well, probably just a daily check-in, I say, we're not going to work out well.
Why is that a red flag?
It's not a red flag, like, character-wise. It's sure. a red flag because you and I are going to have a conversation.
Collaborative-wise, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. You and I are going to have a conversation for about 5 minutes once a month. That's it.
Yeah.
And everything else is going to be text, Slack. And there are people, by the way, who love it because they do not want to be micromanaged.
Right. I was going to say, you get out of their way.
Yeah, totally. They're just like, I'm not calling to make sure that you followed up on that thing, and I'm not calling reminding you about this deal or wondering why you didn't do this. I've got my head down in my own work.
Yeah.
I'm not calling you to make sure you're at work at 9 a.m. I could care less whether you're at work at 9 a.m. Do you need to work with a team? I've got 30 employees. Chances are you're not going to interact with them very much. You know, do you need to work with a team? Because if you need to work with a team, this probably isn't your job. All that sounds miserable, but if you like autonomy and you don't want to have to come into the office and you can get that stuff done in 3 hours a day, great. More power to you. But if somebody wrote down, yeah, I feel like I'm being micromanaged and blah, 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 Well, what you know then is you're actually looking for me. You're looking to work for a guy like me. And you want to be able to write that stuff down and say, this is what I want in my next job. The thing that's making me uncomfortable here is this. Therefore, in my next job, I'm not going to look for that. The other thing that you want to ask yourself is, what needs to change about me? That's what needs to change about them. Now, what needs to change about me? I'm going to have to be more punctual. I'm going to have to do better at follow through. I'm going to have to do better at communication. You know, whatever it is that got you into this mess, I wouldn't leave a job unless I knew something that I needed to work on in myself. So you've got kind of a list of both. Now, here's another one. Final question that you want to ask yourself as you quit your job. Do you need to see a therapist for a minute? And I really mean that. This is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You quitting a job, you getting fired, all that kind of stuff, it's about rejection. It's about your worth as a human being on the open market in terms of economic objectives. There is extreme value to sitting down with a therapist and saying, hey, I'm quitting my job. I would love somebody to talk it through with. Because quitting your job can bring up all sorts of insecurities, all sorts of self-doubt, especially if it's a toxic work environment and they're accusing you of something, or they're kicking you in the butt on the way out the door, or there was some sort of, you know, mild abuse there. And you just don't want to be spiraling in that by yourself.
Right, right.
And you also don't want to be spiraling in it with a friend who's just going to go, oh, they suck, man. They don't deserve you.
Yeah, they screwed you over. Well, everything you're naming and what this episode and this conversation's turned into, which has been not necessarily a surprise, but it's been very interesting, is that this is turned into a very much a self-development conversation.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
At the end of the day, how many people out there listening right now, how many of you out there are going, well, if I quit, that's going to fix all of the problems that I'm dealing with. And when you're talking about seeing a therapist, the rude awakening is you step away thinking, oh, this is going to fix everything. And you're still struggling with whatever you were living with in your head. And you realize, oh, this was stuff that was unsettled with me.
Right.
And now I'm just going to carry this into the next
gig. You are. Yeah. And we all know one or two people who just go from job to job to job. And whenever you talk to them, it's always somebody else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this is your fifth job in 3 years, and every single one of them was somebody else's fault. Everything, you know, and maybe you quit, maybe they fired you, but it was all some sort of circumstantial thing, and it was all their fault. And that to me is a don't hire that person, because you're the next person to be at
fault. It's going to be your fault in a little bit. Yeah,
yeah. Instead of, you know what I discovered wasn't me, or that was a tough one because I realized I actually took advantage of a lot of their work at home stuff and wasn't doing it. And, you know, I paid for it and I learned my lesson. Okay, you're hired. So, but a therapist can help you work through that. Did you notice, Bobby, that you could take quitting a job and quitting a relationship and just make this whole podcast be about?
I was thinking, yeah. Take these tips if you're about to quit your job or thinking about it, or if you're about to step out of a relationship. Yeah.
Somebody once told me, a therapist once told me, we were talking about relationships, and she said something I thought was really fascinating. She said, don't trust somebody who tells stories, trust somebody who has a story. And I think when we're talking about our careers and our work life, none of us do this perfectly. But if you can actually figure out, well, here's how I screwed that up, and here's why I'm not going to do that again, or here's why I'm never going to take a job like that again.
Sure.
All right, Bobby, let's change gears and talk about what whoever just quit or is about to quit is going to do next.
Okay. Yeah, what should they do next?
First of all, get out a tablet of paper and answer this question. What problems do you solve? So, you know, if it was me, I solve a messaging problem, right? Or I solve a vision casting problem. Or I solve, everything is very complicated and we don't know how to simplify it so that we can actually execute. Those would be three problems that I could go into pretty much any work environment and probably do a pretty darn good job on that. If you can't answer that question, then it's very hard for somebody to figure out why they should hire you.
Sure.
Or pay you.
Right.
Right. Next question is, what is that worth? Like, think about it. If you solve those problems, if you can, if you're like, you know what I'm very good at? I'm very good at, if a customer calls and they're cussing and they're angry, I can calm them down. And I go, okay, that's a very valuable asset. And you, by the way, you walk into any interview for some sort of customer service thing, and they say, you know, they're asking some questions, and your final thought is, okay, just one last thought. I love the challenge of turning an enemy into an evangelist. I love that challenge. If somebody hates us because we've screwed it up, I get really excited about 1 week later, them emailing all their friends and telling them how great we are. And I want to do that for your company.
That'll prick up some ears.
It will. And yeah. You could even say, I just want about 25% more than what you're actually offering. You're going to get it. You're going to get it.
Wow. Yeah.
Because they're sitting there going, this is the only person who actually like made a salad.
I was going to say, nobody did this. Yeah, nobody else. Everyone told us that, hey, yeah, oh, I love this and I love you guys and I do this. Yeah. Nobody actually said, hey, this is the additional thing that I want to add to it. Here's my little flavor. Here's my spice that I put on it.
Yeah. Now that you've answered the questions, what am I good at? What problems am I good at solving? And it's not what am I good at. I take that back. It's what problems am I good at solving? Because people only pay money to solve problems. So if you solve a problem, you're valuable. And then what's that worth? And then put a number down and be realistic. If you say, well, I want to be a customer service rep because I'm really great at taking people who don't like the company and don't like us and turning them into evangelists, and I want to do that for $500,000 a year. That is not a $500,000 a year problem to solve. The only way you're going to make $500,000 is if you write a book about how to do that, and then you do consulting.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then you coach other people.
That's right.
In CX departments to do that, yeah.
That's right. And I've got a book called Coach Builder, and I'll teach you how to do that, if that's what you want to do.
Coachbuilderbook.com/podcast.
There you go. So you want to be able to be realistic about what that problem, solving that problem, is actually worth. And then, now that that is internal knowledge, you know that you can do that, and you know that you're worth that. The question is, don't put anybody in the mind reading game. Is your resume, does it reflect that? If you look at your resume and a cover letter to your resume, if you send a resume and there's a cover letter that says, the thing I get most excited about in my career is interacting with people who are angry and who are disappointed in our service and turning them around and making them evangelists of our brand. I would love the opportunity to do that for you, and I would love the opportunity to share my philosophy of how that should be done. Oh, gosh, are you freaking kidding me?
That's all you need on there.
You are at the top of the list. But if you don't say that, you can't put people in the mind-reading business. Nobody knows it. So you actually have to ask yourself, have I said it? And then I think you need to say it 8 times. So you need to say it on the cover letter. Then you need to say it in the resume. And then I would actually send a little video with it. I would say it there. We're at 3 now. Then I would say it twice, maybe 3 times in the actual interview. And then I would repeat it in a follow-up letter after the interview. And I think by the time you're at the 6th, 7th, 8th time, they've heard it. Now, here's what's actually beautiful about that. Everybody else that they interviewed may have said it once or twice, which means it never got metabolized. It never got heard. So when they're going to make a decision on who to hire, it's you who made an offer, turning angry people around and making them evangelists, against 10 other candidates who they can't quite remember what their offer was.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's you against nothing. And you're going to win.
That's a good bet.
Yeah, you're going to win. You also want to rehearse that interview. Essentially, this is a controlling idea. The problem I love solving is this, is the controlling idea of the campaign that you are embarking on to sell yourself. And if it's a economically valuable controlling idea, you'll get paid a lot. If it's not, you won't get paid a lot, but you'll get a job maybe that you love. So you want to repeat the controlling idea over and over and over and over again. And if you do that, somebody's going to pick you up. The other thing, just a final note on this, Bob, is be ready for some rejection.
Sure.
Because if they're not looking for a customer service person who can turn people into an evangelist, right, then you're not going to get that job. But stick to your guns, because this is the job you want, right? You figured out yourself. You figured out what you didn't like about the old job. You figured out what kind of environment you want to work in. You know what problem you solve. You figured out your controlling idea and how you're going to repeat it in order to sell yourself. And now it's time to go. People who don't need that are going to reject you. If you can just deal with 5 or 6 rejections, pretty soon you're going to land your dream job. And you're not going to be doing it for the money or any of that. You're going to do it because this is your dream job. And it pays really, really well.
Do you know what's so great about this episode is that it's not just about how to quit. It's about quitting with a plan.
That's exactly it. Quitting with a plan to not burn bridges, to save your reputation, to earn the respect of people that you used to work for, to know better what you want to do next, to put together a plan to get the job, and to have a communication strategy that's going to allow you to get that job. That's this episode. And if anybody is listening to this and you know somebody who needs to quit their job, by all means, forward them this episode and have them listen to it.
So then, Don, at the end of every episode, we have a plan of action, which is the main takeaways that our audience member out there listening can immediately implement to strengthen and grow their business pulled from the episode.
Yep.
What would you say today's plan of action is for everybody?
Okay. It's a series of questions, and I'm just going to summarize them for you. Why are you quitting? Once you just establish why you're quitting, is there anything you can change about yourself? Is there anything that you would want different in your next work environment? Those are three questions. And that's the analyzing yourself part.
Sure.
The next part is setting you up for a better job and a better career. What problem are you uniquely able to solve? How much is that worth and to who? Does your resume reflect that? And what are the talking points that I'm going to use to let people know I'm really good at solving this problem? And how am I going to get those talking points into the eyeballs and the ears of people that I want a job with 8 times? So each of them need to hear it 8 times, and you want to look for places to do that. And then finally, just be ready for rejection until you get the one you want.
That's great.
That's it.
This episode is a salve to so many people out there listening.
I hope so.
I know it.
I hope so. Or you can just become a coach.
Become a coach.
Yeah. Grab my book, Coach Builder. It'll help you become a coach. And then you're your own boss. And now you have some serious issues because you have to sit down and deal with the issues with your boss, who is you.
Who is you. Yeah. Yeah. Get ready.
I love it, Bobby. I think that we've helped a lot of folks today.
Oh, I know we have.
You know, it's a serious thing. And do take that idea of seeing a therapist. They're so valuable for so much more than crisis management or when everything hits the bottom. So valuable. All right, everybody. Thanks as always for listening to the Business Made Simple podcast, where we are obsessed with helping you grow your business. See you next week.
Want to have Don coach through your question like the ones featured in today's episode? Just go to businessmadesimple.com/podcast. Let us know what's keeping you up at night when it comes to running your business and submit your question at businessmadesimple.com/podcast.